Social Security. Huh? Oh, the federal government's going to pay all of our medical bills. I have hope in that, huh? Hazel's shaking her head now. My rich uncle, he's already died and he didn't leave me anything. No hope there. What is it that I can firmly hold on to? Paul said it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, Wiest Expanded Translation. Let us constantly be holding fast our confession of hope, doing so without wavering, for faithful is he who promised. How many know God made you a promise? Whether Social Security keeps on going or not, his promise still stands. Whether the U.S. military is able to overcome all foes or not, I still have hope in him. Amen? And Paul said, hold fast. There's an awesome power in having hope in one's life. Those who have no hope have a difficult time facing life's future. I've seen people. I remember some years ago, I went to the hospital to visit a lady. Had been a good Christian lady all of her life. And she refused to eat. I have no hope, so I'm going to die. I'm not going to eat, and I'll die. Seemed like her hope was gone. I tried to get her reestablished in her hope in Christ. Let him take care of the future. Without hope, a person loses all reason for existence. They live their life in despair. There's an awful lot of them. I took a vehicle the other day out to Brother Thomas and their security, and you know, right as you go to turn up his driveway there at security, there's a tavern that sits there, and there were cars lined up there in the morning, already drinking. Apparently no hope, so we're going to drown our despair. These folks wonder, what do I have to live for? Why should I continue to exist? When hope enters a person's life, when somebody grasps a hold of hope, they get a new grasp on life, which gives them healing and strength and helps them to make an about face even in the toughest of times. Back in the late 1800s, there was a little girl. Her mom and dad had come over here from Ireland. They immigrated to the United States during the Great Irish Famine. I've been there in Ireland, went through the fields, the potato fields, and we heard the story how thousands of Irish people starved to death because their crops had failed. Bacteria got in the potatoes, rotted them in the ground. Well, this couple got on a boat and they came across to America. After they arrived here, they had a family of four, three girls and a little boy. When the girl was about 6 years old, this little girl called Annie, one of theirs, Mama died from TB. Her little brother that was younger than her, about 4 years old. The other two children had already been taken into other families someplace. Dad was an alcoholic and he was abusive to little Annie. First thing you know, she was placed in Tewksbury Mental Institution just outside of Boston. She was locked in a dungeon, little Annie. The dungeon was the only place, said the doctors, for those who are hopelessly insane. In little Annie's case, they saw no hope for her. She had an infection in her eyes which nearly blinded her. So she was consigned to a living death in a small cage in the basement of that Tewksbury institution. Saw no hope. Received very little light and even less hope. Times they would open the door and they would try to give her an exam and she would fight and scream and throw the food at them. There was an elderly nurse getting close to retirement. She felt there was hope for all of God's children. So she started taking little Annie her lunch into the dungeon. And she would sit outside the bars and she would eat her lunch. And she was trying to communicate with this little girl. She felt perhaps she could get through to her and give some hope. In many ways, little Annie was much like an animal. As I said, she would become violent and attack people that came in near her. Or she would sit over in the corner and completely ignore them. This elderly nurse began coming and trying to communicate with her, sitting outside. She finally started bringing some brownies. She set the brownies down right outside the bar and go on. Next day they were gone. Little Annie had apparently eaten them. And from week to week she continued to visit her and talk to her and try to give her hope, share with her the brownies, and little Annie was responding to her. Finally, the doctors took a look at Annie at the behest of the elderly nurse, and they decided that she could come upstairs. So she got better and she got better, still very scrappy, but when it came time for little Annie to leave the home and go out on her own, she refused. She said, "I want to stay. I'm nearly blind, but I want to stay." She came back to the home, and after she had gotten some further education at another place that could educate the blind, they were looking for something for little Annie to do. And there was a family from deep south who sent a letter to Tewksbury. Said, "We have a little girl. She's blind, she's deaf, and she's dumb. She's wild. We can't do anything with her. Do you have anyone there that could possibly help out? And so little Annie took the case. She moved to the home of the Keller family. And she became the teacher who cared for and taught and nurtured Helen Keller to be able to be the educator and the songwriter, the great lady that she was. That's an amazing story. Somebody who seemed to have no hope whatsoever, from some little elderly nurse, began to get a glimmer, and it changed her life. And she made a commitment of her life to Helen Keller the rest of her days to educate and help her. Hope is empowering to our lives simply because of who the author is. And the author is Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus is the author of hope for the human race.
Yes.
And that's what that elderly nurse was sharing with little Annie. Christ is your hope. Hope comes from our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Creator of the universe. Hallelujah. The Lord over all things. He who is Jesus, God in the flesh, who is Christ Himself, the Messiah, the resurrected one. Hallelujah! He who has ascended to the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf, He is the one who gives to us hope.
Praise God.
So if you're looking for hope from the federal government, wrong place. If you're looking for hope from anything other than Jesus Christ, you're barking up the wrong tree. He is our hope. It comes from Him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has the potential to give us hope. Comes from God and the God and the Father, the Holy One, the All-Powerful One, oh hallelujah, the All-Knowing One, the Omnipresent One, who is our loving Father and cherishes us, each and every one of us, every day of our lives. He who sits in the heavens is the one who gives us hope.
Yes.
He has the power to back it up. Hope comes from Him giving us grace, unmerited favor. Though we don't deserve hope, He willingly and lovingly gives hope to every one of us. Can you say, "Thank you, Lord, for your grace"? By that grace you've given me hope.
Thank you, Lord.
I understand. I've heard Brother Eric's testimony, and he was at a place in his life there was no hope, so I'm going to finish it. There's no hope, but oh, hallelujah, when he met Jesus here, hope came into existence by His grace. Several years ago, the noted British journalist Malcolm Muggeridge was a guest at breakfast in Washington, D.C. When he had finished his testimony, he made a number of comments about world affairs, all of which were very pessimistic. If I'm talking about world affairs, I'd be pessimistic too, huh? One of the Christians present said to Malcolm Muggeridge, he said, "Mr. Muggeridge, Dr. Muggeridge, you have been very pessimistic. Don't you have any reason for optimism?" Muggeridge replied, "My friend, I could not be more optimistic than I am, because my hope is in Jesus Christ alone." Hallelujah! He allowed that remark to settle in for a little bit. After a few seconds, he said, "Just think, if the apostolic church had pinned their hope on the Roman Empire, what would have happened?" My hope is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our hope is not in the powers of this world, but in the heavenly realm. Amen. I'm thankful for the armed forces of America. I'm thankful for a government that gives me a Social Security stipulation. I'm thankful for the forces of this world. But I'm telling you, my hope is anchored in none other than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Edward Mote, he wrote a song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Where's your hope this morning?
Jesus.
Is your hope in your kids? Is your hope in your rich uncle? Is your hope in your parents? Is your hope in your neighbor? Is it in Food Line? Is it in Columbia Bank? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This hope that Christ gives to us abides forever. Amen. Listen to Paul. "And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It is not here today and gone tomorrow, this hope. No, when all else fails, Christ prevails." Amen. Hallelujah. "When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds beyond the veil. On Christ the Son, sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." I'm here to tell you, hope in Christ will be here forever, eternally. Amen.
Praise God.
I want you to know this hope is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed, I said the Apostle Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. The best they could do with Buddha was make a big old bust out of him. Amen. The best they can do with Shinto is have you hug a tree. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm glad my Jesus Jesus is out of the tomb. He rose from the dead. And that gives me hope. Amen.
Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Can you say praise the Lord? He's alive, and that gives me hope. Amen. And hope, last of all, in Christ assures the believer of immortality.
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
Oh, this coming Wednesday, we'll celebrate 70 years ago that a little boy was born in an old log house up in the Mercersburg corner in the midst of a snowstorm. Hallelujah. Doctor couldn't get there, so Aunt Ada Pittman had to come across the field to help deliver this old boy. And I'm getting older. I think I am, anyhow.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm still good to go. Amen. But I have a hope of immortality. You're looking at a man that's never going to die. Amen. Oh, this old body might lay down and turn to dust, but the man living on the inside will live forever. Hallelujah. I have hope in him. Acts 24, the writer said, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Hallelujah! You can put me in the ground, you can put me in a box, you can put a concrete lid over top of me, you can put dirt in my face, but I'm telling you, on Resurrection Day, I'm getting up! Hallelujah! I have that hope. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So what's my responsibility? According to the text, I'm going to constantly hold fast this profession and confession of hope, and I'm going to do it without wavering. How many is with me?
Yes.
Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know about you, but I have hope in Christ. You better also.
I have hope in Christ.